Hey, greetings. This is Brother James, noparish.com, John 4:24 radio. Hey, I hope you had a great day or are having a great day wherever you are. I wanted to bring you a teaching audio today. This is a topic that comes up quite often, and I talk about it a lot in the streets and with people that I disciple online or in person, but I don't really have a teaching on it, so I wanted to get one to edify you. Ready? Recreation, not recreation. Recreation, not recreation. Yeah, let's talk about this concept of the recreation of ourselves versus carnal man's recreation. So let's talk about the two different definitions. Recreation, this is biblically being made new in Christ, right? By the new spirit, the born again, made new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. All things pass away, all things become new. And so it's a recreation of you and your spirit and your soul before God, right? That's the concept. And man's form that they always practice is recreation. Same word, different meaning. It's activities done for one's enjoyment. That would be your flesh. Yeah, so we have recreation versus recreation. The world has turned this practice into a billion-dollar business, an idolatrous, massive business-making venture full of hobbies and entertainment. But for holy saints of God, recreation is a very, very different thing. It comes after new life, after the gospel, after you're born again through faith and repentance. And then saints of God walk in the Holy Spirit, not in the flesh. Go read Romans 8. And our goal, if we're being led by the Spirit and the Word of God, is to always be rejuvenating ourselves, our spirit, our soul, our minds, in Christ, in the Word of God, in truth, in holiness, in righteousness, not seeking after to please the flesh, which is what recreation does. Swimming, boating, biking, mountain climbing, all of these things they do. All of those most recreational things have some type of physical aspect to them. Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:8, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that is now and of that which is to come." I love that. So we got to remember that. What are we focused on? Eternity or temporal things? Spiritual, eternal things or fleshly, physical, temporal things? Let me be clear before all of the haters come out. I'm not saying you can't go for a good, brisk walk. Nope, nothing wrong with that. Our bodies are designed to move and be used, and we should move and use them to function. If you just sat on a couch or in a chair all day and never moved, it's not a good thing. But here's the problem. You don't focus on going out walking and going out doing physical exercise to get your body in great shape, to look good and keep doing all this recreation and get addicted to the buzz, they call it, and the thrill of biking faster, running faster, lifting more weights. No. No, you don't focus on all that. You focus, recreating, is focusing on the spirit man, getting away, meditating in God's word and truth, striving to not be conformed to the world, recreating yourself on a regular basis, right? Walking, as I said, is good. Your body could use the exercise, but jogging, lifting weights, mountain climbing, all of these hobbies and recreation everyone does, this simply is not of God. It's fleshly, it's worldly, it's a time waster. It profiteth little. You would never see Jesus or Peter or Paul or John the Baptist jogging, biking, pumping weights for the sake of pumping weights. Someone could ride a bike to work. I get it. They don't go out and do those type of things just for recreation. This is the whole point of this. It's a prideful, fleshly waste of time. In the Word of God, which is our guide, we see a pattern where the holy men of old, and women, I'm sure, made it a habit of going away, getting away from people after they worked and labored and did ministry and were out in the world. We all live in the world, right? were in the world, not of it. They head into a wilderness place to find unity, peace, comfort, quietness, joy with the Lord, to pray, to ponder scripture, to recreate themselves, to refresh their minds, their spirits, their souls in the Creator God. That's what I'm talking about. Big difference. Recreation in the Word of God, recreation in your flesh. Let's talk about that word wilderness. When you see it in the Bible, both Old and the New Testament, it generally means an uninhabited land, meaning very few people. So wilderness is wherever you go to get away from lots of people, right? Crowds can be very draining, very troublesome, noisy, lots of issues and problems. You go out in the wilderness to get away from people. You have peace and quiet. You can actually think. I grew up in a time where we used to have peace and quiet. I'd go out in the woods and I didn't have any noise. All I had was God's creation around me, even though I was a little pagan, didn't even know who God was. I didn't know about Christ. But we didn't have phones and all these players people take with them now and things they stick in their ears and satellites to beam down music and all this. We didn't have none of that stuff, right? When I had a homestead, I had a beautiful valley we owned. I used to go walk down in the valley. That was my wilderness. I'd get away from everything and everyone and go down there and think about the things of God. Yeah, sold that to go preach the gospel. Glad I did. But that was my wilderness. Today I find wilderness when we're out in the world, places wherever we can go where we get away from people. We'll talk about that. For most people today, their wilderness, because most people don't live out in a wilderness, they would call it a park somewhere or a little piece of private woods or a field or a pasture or a place where there's not a lot of people. Maybe if it's cold weather and there's a beach and nobody's there and you sit by the water, no one's around. That could be a wilderness for people. If you live in a big city, your car, yeah, pointed away from everyone else in peace and quiet, might be your wilderness. You get what I'm saying here? Place to go and ponder and think and meditate and pray and read scripture and recreate your hope and your joy and your mind and your peace and your soul in the things of God. Yeah, if you're in a city, you can just turn away from it. Sister Debbie and I, when we're out here in the world as full-time van dwellers preaching Christ, we are inundated with the world everywhere we go. Sometimes we just point our van away from them and we see beautiful woods. And right behind us is civilization, sinful, worldly, and carnal. The Bible says this about pointing your van in a different direction. How about pitching your tent? You've heard that, right? Genesis 13:12. Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Yeah, Lot was leaning toward Sodom. Ended up costing his wife his life, didn't or her life. End up costing Lot's wife her life when she looked back. Yeah, don't pitch your tent toward Sodom. Don't pitch your attention towards the ways of the world. If you want to recreate yourself, don't go to a beach where people are walking around virtually naked. Don't go to the gym where you can't even look at men or women because they're dressed totally carnal and fleshly and lascivious. No, you go into wilderness. You go get away from people, whether it's in your backyard, in your car, in a park where nobody is, way far away, camping somewhere. We'll talk about different ways you can do those things. Let's talk about what it says in Scripture about the wilderness. Moses went into a mountain to speak with God. Exodus 19:3. And Moses went unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. Right? So Moses went away to be with God on the mountain. Didn't happen in the midst of all the people. How about the Israelites? God frees them from Egypt, takes them where? Into another big crowded place? No, into the desert wilderness. Exodus 16:2. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Yeah, God took them into a wilderness so they could focus on him. Didn't turn out well for them. They were a rebellious, stiff-necked people. How about John the Baptist, the greatest man that ever lived, according to Jesus? Mark 1:3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Yeah. John dwelled in the wilderness. Probably wasn't around a lot of people a lot, but he was close to God, in tune with the Father. Jesus, our Lord, Master, Messiah, Savior, he did it. Luke 5:15-16. But so much more went there, a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Yeah, Jesus got tired of being around everybody. I can appreciate that. He loved them. He cared for them. He fed them. He healed them, preached the gospel to them. He got away in the wilderness to pray. He recreated himself. You never saw Jesus doing recreation in the flesh. That's what this is all about. How about right before his very death? Matthew 26, 36 through 38. Then cometh Jesus and say with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and say unto the disciples, sit here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry here and watch with me. So the garden was a place near Jerusalem, and it was probably like a wilderness, a garden where he could go and get away from everybody else. Jesus always prayed away from everyone else. Jesus tells us, go pray in our closet. There's a wilderness, your prayer closet. Your prayer garden corner place, praying in your car when no one's around. That's your prayer closet. That's your wilderness. That's your recreating place. You see what I'm saying? The whole point of this is pulling away from the culture and the world that we all walk through to seek after the things of God in spirit and truth. Now, to kind of bolster the idea of recreating oneself, we know what it says in the New Testament, where we're born again, we become new creations, right? David said this, I like this, Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. So you can be renewed. That's what this is about, right? It's about being renewed. You get tired, you get worn down. Maybe you fell or stepped or purposely chose sin. You have to repent. You need to go and get renewed. Yeah. Paul talked about don't take the Lord's Supper unworthily. Make sure you examine yourself. That means you got to examine, fix what's wrong and in sin, repent of it, and go renew yourself before you come and take the Lord's Supper, lest you take it unworthily. Another example for you. It's a cleansing of ourself, our mind, our ways, getting away from everything that's of the world, getting away from their fleshly false ways like recreation and entertainment and sports and politics and movies and career and all of those things, and get into the holy things of God in the Spirit, with the Lord, with his word, either alone or just with true saints that you're close to and united to. We can all get the new creation by the gospel. Check it out at don'tperish.com. Check out the gospel link. By faith in his death, burial, and resurrection, you repent. Be born again by his Spirit. Follow him unto obedience and holiness and endure in the faith. That's the gospel that cleanses us. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is what this seeking is. It's a recreating ourselves to always be cleansed and be drawing near to God. The Bible says, draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. That's what we do. We don't get anywhere by doing recreation with our bodies, chasing hobbies, doing worldly, fleshly things. This has nothing, adds nothing to our spiritual life whatsoever. And then, of course, once we learn all this, we walk in it every day, exercising ourselves, exercising our spirits, our gifts, our talents, doing our ministry, looking after saints, preaching the gospel, all those things we do. But Apostle Paul, he talked about it. Don't conform to the world, right? You know about Romans 12:2. Don't conform. The world is running, busy, doing this, running there, doing this. Look at this, try this. No, Paul says don't conform. So it's wise to take yourself out of man's creation, the culture, Satan's kingdom is really what it is. It's only two kingdoms, kingdom of Satan, kingdom of God. So the culture, sports, politics, movies, entertainment, hobbies, recreation, all of these idle pastimes. Take yourself out of all of that. When you're done working, right, seek the Father's kingdom. In a quiet place, in a wilderness place, seek his word, his truth, be recreated. Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's how we will be recreated versus recreation. Now we know, if we've been studying the word long enough, Satan, the enemy, likes to twist everything and do the opposite of what God does. Yep, God gives us recreation of new life, tells us to go recreate yourself in the spirit. Man likes to do recreation of his body and his flesh for hours and hours in entertainment, exercise, idle hobbies, all these things. Rock climbing, rodeoing, whatever, playing instrumental music and marching and band instrumental, playing instrumental music with instruments, marching and bands, all this stuff. But people care very little about spiritual recreating in the truth and the Word of God. Oh, you have yoga where they take time to do that. You have New Age meditation. You have Hinduism and all that. And they're doing it totally in a wrong way, in a cult way, seeking the darkness and seeking to hear God's voice. They actually literally are seeking darkness. And then they seek a false light. And they listen to hear God's voice. And they look for warm feelings and then feelings of nirvana and all these false things that Satan brings. So it's a couple of ditches. You got the people that run in the worldly recreation, and it's all of the flesh. Then in the other ditch, you got people that are seeking this recreation of New Age enlightenment. Let me warn you about that. I got articles about that on my website at the teaching blog about New Age enlightenment. Don't go in that direction. But the recreation industry and the New Age enlightenment, it's become a massive idol. Like I said, billion-dollar business. It's fleshly. It does not help you recreate yourself in the Spirit of God. It does not help you draw close to God. It does not glorify God. It is not good for your witness. It's a waste of time. It does nothing to glorify the Father's name. No, we saints, I'm talking to the saints here, and seekers, if you might become a saint, if you're listening, we need to be the example, like the saints of old, right? All of us have to do just what they did. A few basic things filled up their whole life. Ready? This is a whole teaching right here, but I'm going to add this in here. A few basic things filled up their entire life. Ready? They ate and slept. That's a natural function God ordained. They worked to support themselves, either women in the home or men out working, right? They had ministry of family, fellowship, living holy, studying the Word and praying. So I roll those all up into one. So that's your own personal faith life, what you're doing, your family, friends, praying, studying the Word. They had ministry to go preach the gospel. That was the call, right? Go preach the gospel. And then after they did all those things, they were tired and empty, and they would go and recreate themselves in a wilderness place, alone with other saints, alone with themselves, praying, reading the Word, meditating on God's truth, talking to the Father, looking at His creation, giving Him glory. That's all they did. Eat, sleep, work, fellowship, live holy, study the Word of God. Do ministry, preach the gospel, and then get away to recreate. If anybody can show me anything else that the saints in the Bible did they run for political office? No. Did they have hobbies? No. Were they seeking these great careers and building up their careers and their financial status? No. Think about how simple their lives were, and then you can get to a place where you have lots of time to spend time recreating yourself. It's that simple. A godly, holy life lived seeking His kingdom in spirit and truth. Isn't that beautiful? So we who are born again of God, we live in this world. We're not of the world, and we're called to reach it. So we live in it. If you have to work, you work in it. We preach the gospel all in it, wherever we are. Then we go into the wilderness to restore ourselves, to recreate ourselves. And what do we want to focus on? Ephesians 5, 9, and 10. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. That's what we need to be seeking. And if you do recreation in the world, you're not getting goodness, righteousness, and truth. You're getting flesh, carnality, sin, and worldliness. Yeah, you see why we recreate. We don't focus on recreation. Again, I'll give you some examples of what I mean. It doesn't mean you can't take a walk. I'm not talking about that. We'll talk about that in a minute. There's just no room in a true saint's life for fleshly hobbies, entertainment, sports, seeking idle things of the culture, seeking thrills, amusement parks, jumping out of airplanes, wrestling alligators, all these foolish things people do. I just heard about where you can pay $250,000 to go dive down in the ocean 2 miles, and it's a risky thing to see the Titanic. This is entertainment and recreation that people do. It has nothing to do with God's kingdom, and it's risking and wasting their lifetime and resources. How foolish. All right, so how about some examples of what would be godly recreating? Just a few, ready? Take a walk. I said you could walk, right? I have a brother who loves to walk. He walks by a river by his house, thinks of the things of God, and looks to hand out gospel cards. That's his recreating time. Take a walk. Go out in the wilderness. Try to get away from people as best you can. Think on good, pure, and true things. Philippians 4:8. How about this? Go to a lake. Maybe it's a wilderness place away where most people aren't. Hey, if you like to fish, bring your pole. See if you can catch some fish for dinner. And just go out and meditate on Scripture. Maybe you don't even fish. You just go out and think about Jesus, the Holy Spirit work in your life, the Word of God, the brethren in your life, things you want to accomplish for the Lord. How about take a drive by yourself or with a dear saint or whoever, or alone? No noise, no radio, no phone. Shut it off and just have the peace and quiet and let the Spirit speak to your heart. How about get away and go start a campfire somewhere and ponder the greatness of God, and He is our consuming fire God. As the Bible says, He's a consuming fire. For those of you that have small children, how about go and rake a bunch of leaves, whether you got to go out in the woods or if you could do it in your backyard, somewhere, a wilderness place where there's not a lot of people around. Then you know what? Kids love to do this. Sit in the leaves with them and talk about the gospel and the goodness of God and the shed blood of Christ, recreating ourselves. How about this one? Sister Debbie and I love to do this one. Watch a sunset and just give glory to God for His creation. We see people all the time loving the creation and they forget the Creator completely. Romans 1, go read it. That's what it sounds like. How about this one? Just find a private place and go pray. Think on the things of God. Open your heart to the Lord. Pour yourself out. Ask Him to fill you up. Yeah, that's recreating yourself. How about this one? Plan a simple camping trip alone or with your close family, brother, and whatever. Turn off your phone, put it away. And you know what? Sit or lay on the ground and look up the stars. You get out in the wilderness and there's no light. You can see the stars, no man-made light. You can see the stars better. And glorify the Creator, what He's made, and realize He's made all those stars, but He knows you, knows your name, knows the number of hairs on your head, and He loves you if you're of Him. And His wrath is not coming for you. Those that are outside of Him, His wrath is coming for them. He loved them enough to send Christ. There's a way for them, but they have to repent. But go, look at the stars. And recreate yourself. How about go get away alone and make a joyful noise unto the Lord, even if it's just for a few minutes in the middle of a busy day? Yeah, everybody waits to like sing when we're all together in a building. Why do you have to wait for that? You don't. God says make a joyful noise. Now, you can do it with other saints. True. You could do it alone. Yeah, God would love that. That would recreate your spirit. I know that. I love when I do that. And I just give God glory with whatever I can offer Him, and He accepts it because I'm His child. Your little child draws a picture and it's so ugly and you can't even tell what it is, but you receive it because He's your child and you love Him, right? Or he or she. That's God with my voice or my offering and yours as well. Amen. How about this one? Ready? I like coffee. So stop, make a cup of coffee, get somewhere in a quiet place, sit down and write down all your blessings. All the people you have in your life that you're thankful for, all the truth you know, all your blessings. That's a way to recreate yourself and focus on the things of God. How about look for ways, this one's a little different, look for ways to reach out to edify others, brethren, neighbors, people around you, and go down and sit down and write them some letters in a quiet wilderness place and speak your heart to them. You can send them texts, you can send them emails, you can send them old school handwritten letters. Recreating yourself, offering yourself to other people in a quiet, simple, godly way. The ideas are endless, saints. Just think of them. The goal, remember the goal. The goal is to simply break your normal busyness, whether you're a housewife, a man working, whatever, street preacher, whatever. Break the simpleness from living in the fallen world, because that's the only world we have to live in, and then we walk in the kingdom of God, right? But what we do is we get in a wilderness place somewhere, then focus on this biblical life, eternal things, spiritual things, exclusively for a season or a time, half hour, 10 minutes, 2 hours, whatever. You go camping for a whole weekend, you could do it for a whole weekend in a wilderness place. It means not a lot of people and distractions around. and focus on the things of God. That's what recreating is all about versus fleshly recreation. We, my wife and I, Sister Debbie, we do this often. Every week we're around thousands of people as we're street preaching. They're walking by us, and it gets pressure packed. People hate you, call the police on you, many trials, they'll threaten you. We get meet some nice people, we have some good talks too. Gospel goes out to thousands. When you're discipling saints and they have a lot of issues, it can be very draining, marriage issues, personal issues, or dealing with people that want to study and then they rebel and they leave you and trying to bring them back, and it's all very, very, very draining. Rewarding, but also very draining. And so what we do, we find a quiet place with our little van, camper, gospel wagon, and we try to get alone. And we just get in the Word and our thoughts and conversation of Him, and we close everything else out. That's recreating ourselves. We don't sit and park in the middle of a busy place, put ourselves into more congestion, confusion, and then think we're going to get recreated and filled up. No. We would never have made it this long as van-dwelling street preachers if we did that. Nope. We have to find a way to recreate ourselves minutely, minute by the minute, hourly, weekly, monthly, yearly. Yeah, you got to find a way to do it. Everybody needs different amounts too, so consider that. How about Acts 7:36? He brought them out, and after he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. God kept Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. It should have been good for them. They were rebellious. There was two men out of 600,000 of their men. Only two of them were righteous and willing and worthy to go into the Holy Land, Joshua and Caleb. Yeah, talk about few. That's few. Out of 600,000, only two went in. So God used that as a purging time. We can use the wilderness as a renewal. The recreation goes away. Get rid of it out of your life. And the recreation, we use that as a renewal. So I hope you'll think about this. I hope that you can make biblical recreation part of your daily schedule, weekly schedule, lifetime schedule. Do it on a regular basis. Toss out the idea that you need all kinds of worldly, fleshly based recreation. Go for a walk. Do some work, some gardening. Do things that do exercise your body, because you do need to move your body. I agree. I don't even know if exercise is the right word. Just do what God created you to do. Walk and move around. But you don't need all that flesh-based recreation that wastes your time, distracts you, makes you worldly, makes you carnal. What you want to do is recreate yourself. Go ponder God's design of the world around you, His design of the gospel and sending Christ, His design of the holy word of God, how the Holy Spirit works. Yeah, go ponder all of that. Don't get caught up in Satan's recreation of the culture, the flesh. It tries to drag you down. It's like a magnet that wants to attach to you and not let you go. No, repent of all that idolatry. Seek after recreation versus the worldly, carnal, media craze, culture craze, flesh crazed recreation that will consume you and steal away your soul. Do it often. Recreation. It's going to help fill you up, so that you can empty yourself out to others, the brethren and the lost people in the world, and unto God, and then go back, recreate, meditate, ponder, pray, think, reach out to the Lord, cry out to the Lord, make a joyful noise, study the scriptures, and He'll fill you up, and you'll be ready to go again. I hope that's been a blessing to you. That was on my heart for quite a while, but I wanted to get that done. Recreation, not recreation. Let me know how I can help you in the faith. Go to don'tperish.com. It's full of things to help you recreate yourself in the Lord. Spirit, word, joy, peace, hope. Nah, the only thing of recreation in there is calling out the false ways of the world. Then shoot me an email. Let Sister Debbie and I know how we can help you in the faith. We love you all very much. Traveling in the gospel road, preaching Christ crucified every day, working towards another town with another event. But we're going to go shine Christ's light. We're going to stand in front of thousands of people. We're going to resist whatever comes against us. When they call the police, we're legal. The police go away. When the mockers come out, we put them and tell them, stand down, the word of God. When the Satanists come out, we tell them, stand down. When the mockers come out, we tell them, stand down, we preach the word of God. When the people thank us, we tell them, thank you, and we continue to preach. When we get emails of people encouraged by what we do and thanking us. All those things we do, but more pressure against us than for us, by far. Then we go, we find a quiet wilderness, and we recreate ourselves in Christ. Let me leave it right there. Till next time, go out and have a joyous day. We love you all. May God be praised.